fullness. Wouldn't it be sad if we did not have that hope? Wouldn't it be sad if we would not be able to say that? Because He lives, I can face tomorrow. Because He lives, I mean, we have everything to look forward to. This becomes less and less, and what happens around, it's not that we don't care. We do care, but it doesn't mean as much as what we have in store. Amen? And that makes it worth, and life is worth the living. Why? Because He lives. If you're here this morning and you do not know Him as your personal Savior, you need to know Him as your personal Savior. You can have that hope. Let's pray. Lord, thank You so much for the opportunity that we've been given to come into Your house, to take a brief moment to set aside all the busyness of life and to take a moment to open Your Word, to dwell on Your Word, Holy Spirit of God, for You to show us and teach us. And I just pray, Holy Spirit, that You be able to use me this morning for Your honor and for Your glory this morning. I pray that You would give me clarity of thought and the words that You would have me say this morning, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Last Sunday, we were finishing, we started our lesson on salvation. And we were focusing on salvation and what salvation is. What it is that we have in Christ. Because our decision to trust Jesus Christ as a personal Savior, and let me reiterate that, it is a personal thing. As much as I would love to be able to pray and have Christ come into the heart of my loved ones, that's not something that God ordained. That's not something that He placed. He made it a personal decision. But that's a wonderful thing in the fact that He is a personal Savior. He's not just our Savior. He didn't just die for us. He died for me. That changes things. That makes it very personal. That makes God your God. That makes serving Him all the different. So He is our Savior. As we said, if you haven't trusted Him, you need to trust Him as your personal Savior. But our decision to trust Christ is the greatest decision that we could have ever made this side of heaven. And what we would like to do is to explain what took place at the time of salvation so that we can better understand how our decision to become a child of God, to become a Christian, has changed my relationship with God. Many of us have continued, for whatever reason, we've continued to live in a relationship pre-salvation. We tend to view God in our life as someone who is just waiting for that opportunity, like the old whack-a-mole in the fair when you go. And how many have played that game, whack-a-mole? I'm not very good at it, but I've played it once or twice at the fair. And I used to feel that God was like the one wielding the hammer, or the soft cushion hammer. And whenever that mole poked his head out and he just whacked in. And I used to think that God was a God that was just waiting for that opportunity for me to mess up so that He can come down from heaven and just sweep His wrath all over me and make me feel what I am, a sinner. That's how I used to view God. Did you know that's not what God is to the believer anymore? He took your sin, my sin, He took upon Himself, and He paid the penalty for my sin on the cross. So that has been removed. The penalty for sin has been removed. When He said, "It is finished," nothing could be added to or taken away from the price, the payment for sin. Let that sink in. There's nothing that you can do that will affect, as a believer, as a child of God, there's nothing that you can do that will affect your standing, your place within the family. When you become a child of God, you say, well, Brother Dan, and we'll probably get into this later, but for some reason the Holy Spirit would have me mention this morning. John 1:12, let's all look there. John 1:12, we know this verse, but let's consider this verse. John 1:12. But as many as received Him, to them gave He what? The power. And it's okay to speak out in this class. Brother Leroy does it all the time, and I'm used to it. Amen? He keeps me on my toes. I'm just teasing, Brother Leroy. See what I mean? I was just waiting for you to say so. But as many as received Him, to them gave He what? The power to become what? The sons of God. Even to them which, what? Believed on His name. Did you believe in His name? Yes. Did you receive Him? Yes. Then the answer is, you are what? A child of God. When do you cease to become a child? How many have children in this room? Raise your hand. How many have more than one child? Hallelujah. Bless your heart. We have five. No matter what they do, no matter how wicked they are, when do they cease to become your children? Never. It is the same in the family of God. Now, their standing with mom and dad can change. Their relationship with mom and dad can be strained. The fellowship may not be the sweetest at times, but they will always, always be our children. They will always be loved by their mom and dad. Always. No matter what they do. Now, we may not love what they do, but we love that individual. We love that individual. It is the same. John 5 and verse 24. For those of us that have the words of Christ in red in our Bible, you'll notice that it is in red. These are words that came out of the lips of God in the form of man while He was here on earth. And He says in verse 24 of chapter 5, verily, verily, or in today's vernacular, for sure, for sure, for sure, for sure, I say unto you, he that heareth My word, this right here, not only that, but the Bible says in John 1:1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. So as He spoke, He was the Word. He that heareth My word and believeth on Him that sent Me hath what? Everlasting life. And that word hath is a promise word. It doesn't mean maybe, perhaps, if you, there's no conditions to it. You hath it. Okay? Hath everlasting life. And shall not come into what? Where's condemnation? For an unbeliever, where's condemnation? The Bible says in Revelation 21:8, but the fearful and unbelieving and the abominable and the whoremongers and sorcerers and all those big long name things that you say, well, I haven't done any of that in my life, so I'm good to go. And all liars, well, okay. And all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. That's condemnation. That's condemnation. Here it says, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from what? From death unto life. When Adam and Eve sinned in the Garden of Eden, they died spiritually. The Bible says in Genesis 2, God had told Adam that the day that you eat of it, you shall surely die. Now, they did not die physically, but something within them died that day. They died a spiritual death. Remember, when God breathed into man and man became a living soul, that was a spiritual thing that took place too. Not only physical, where he stood up and he was able to talk and speak and breathe and his body functioned, but also he breathed into him eternal life. But he also made him with a will. And when he, with his own will, decided to disobey God, then he died spiritually. When you're saved, when you believe in Christ, you enter into the family of God, you shall not come into condemnation, but you've passed from death unto life eternal. That's a spiritual thing that happens. You do not do that. It's not something that you muster up and work up. That is the work of the Holy Spirit of God in your life and in your heart. And you can't change that if you believe. Amen? You're worrying me now. Amen? Okay. Whew. Okay. Are you with me, aren't you? Okay. Now, you may not have heard it explained that way, but this helps. This helps. Why? I do not have to earn favor with God. I don't have to earn His favor. It took me a while to get over that. We live in a world that if you're going to get anything, you have to earn it. Think about every other religion on the planet. You have to earn standing within that religion. There's something you either have to pay or do. With salvation, it's not that way. It's paid in full. Paid in full. Nothing can be added. Nothing can be taken away. Now remember, I'm not talking about Christian service. I'm not talking about serving God out of a heart of love and out of gratitude for what He's done for us. I'm not talking about that. We're talking about salvation this morning. Salvation wasn't yours to give. It's not yours to get rid of. You can't give it. You can't take it away. And God said He wasn't going to. And I take Him at His word. Amen? It's forever. It's forever. Let me look at one more. John 10, 27. My sheep hear my voice. Again, the words of Christ in red. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give unto them what? Eternal life. There it is. What is eternal life? It's life that never ends. And they shall what? Never perish. In Spanish, the translation says, y no perecerán, they'll not perish jamás. Ever. Nunca. Jamás. It's final. Okay? And that's what this implies here. They shall never perish. Okay? They shall never, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. So if God says that no man's going to pluck you out of His hand, that gives me the idea that when you get saved, when you believe in Christ, He takes you and places you in His hand. And nobody is going to take you out of His hand. He said so. Why would I not believe that? And then He says, my Father which gave them me is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. And then He just in case we didn't get that, he says, my Father and I, we're one. We're one. Who is going to remove you from the Father's hand? No one. Who's stronger than God? No one. I know that's base and simple and in kindergarten, but hallelujah. Nobody's going to take you out of Jesus' hand, out of God's hand. Amen. Amen. Salvation by grace through faith. Now, we finished last week by talking about two spiritual families in the world. You say, Brother Dan, this is pretty base. I know this. Well, we need to be reminded of it because there's a lot of people today that do not know this. And if we want to share how to be saved with somebody, it's very important that they realize where they're at. Because if they don't know where they're at, there's no need for salvation. If they don't know how they stand, if they don't know that they are spiritually dead, they're dead men walking, spiritually speaking, physically alive, spiritually dead, then there's no way that they can understand the fact of why God had to send His Son to come to this earth, be born as we're born, to live as we live, and then to shed perfect blood to pay the price for sin. That they need that. So we talked about the devil's family. This spiritual family began when Adam and Eve sinned. Romans 5:12, we read that. For as by one man sin entered into the world, and something else entered, and death by sin came also into the world, and that death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. Romans 3:10, but let me read this because it just now came to me in Spanish, and you guys aren't going to get that one, right? So, as it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none that understandeth. There is none that seeketh after God. They are all gone out of the way. They are altogether become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good. No, not one. How many good people? None. None. Verse 23, for all have sinned and have come short of the glory of God. Another word in Spanish, destituido, which means separated from God, to become short of the glory of God. There's nothing that you and I can do that would be good enough to match the holiness of a thrice holy God. Nothing that we can do to do that. And so we have to remember that, that sin nature. We're all born after Adam's image, and we looked at that, right? And then the second thing that we needed to realize is that there's also God's family. So you have two spiritual families in the world. You have the devil's family, and you have God's family. Now, we don't use those terms these days. And I wouldn't recommend you going out, knock on somebody's door, and say, hey, you're part of the devil's family, but I can help you with that. The least that might happen is they might call the cops on you. Okay, because it sounds nutty. There's a better way to say that, right? But we need to realize that there are two spiritual families. We enter the family of God by believing and receiving Jesus Christ as our personal Savior. We read John 1:12. But as many as received them, to them gave He power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on His name. We enter this family at the moment of our spiritual birth. Let's look at John chapter 1 and verse 13. John chapter 1 and verse 13. Anything that I might show you means nothing unless I can show you in the Word of God. Because anything that I would talk to you about that does not come out of the Word of God would be my opinion. And opinions are good sometimes, but they're like socks. We all have them, and some stink. Right? Some stink. Some don't use socks. Okay, So verse 13 says, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of whom? But of God. But of God. What takes place at the moment of salvation is born of God. This is why Jesus told Nicodemus in John chapter 3, verses 1 through 3, as we look, and he said, there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest, except God be with him. So they realized the fact that, hey, this doesn't happen around here. Something's different about this guy. And Jesus answered and said unto him, for sure, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, you cannot see the kingdom of God. It's not going to happen. So once we accept Christ, we receive a new nature. We become a new person. 2 Corinthians 5:17. Let's read it. It's very important. I know we've heard it quoted, and many of us can quote it. But 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 17. That would be page 1233. He says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, how do you get in Christ? By doing what? Believing, right? You get in Christ. You get in the family. For as many as received him, to them gave you power and believed on his name, right? So you get in the family of God. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, what is he? He's a new creature. Do you believe what the Bible says? So when you came to Christ and you received him, you believed in his name. The Bible says you became a new creature. Old things are what? And behold, all things are become new. From then on, everything was new. That's why when you got saved, the things that you used to do without thinking about it, and you never were really bothered about it, now, if you were to do some of those things, not everything, but some things, all of a sudden you have a conscience about it where you didn't have it before. It feels different. It's weird. It's like, wait a minute. Do I need to be doing this? What is different? The Holy Spirit of God that dwells in the believer. That's the difference. That's the difference. That makes the difference. So, behold, if any man is in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things passed away. All things are become new. We gain also a new image. By the way, I couldn't help but just really quick, my eyes went to the next verse. And all things are of God who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ and hath given us the ministry of reconciliation, to wit that God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them. That means he doesn't lay it to their account. From that moment on, he doesn't take and lay it to your account. Now, some of you may remember the days when you used to have the old country store when you could go into and you say, oh, Brother Dan, you're talking like you know what you're talking about. I did this when I was a kid. You go to the old store and you have a running account. And whenever payday came, then you'd catch it up. Mom or dad would run down to the store. So if mom and dad sent you to the store, you'd run to the store and you say, hey, whatever it is that you're picking up, and then you don't have to carry any money with you. They just have a ledger there. That's what this implies. God doesn't put it to our account. And hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. But that's a whole nother thing for a whole nother day. The Bible says we gain a new image in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Look what the Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 49. And as we have borne the image of the earthly or earthy, we shall also do what? Bear the image of what? Of heavenly. Do you know that when someone has received Christ as their Savior, you know, one of the parts that I love about leading somebody to Christ is that change in countenance. You can see it. You can see a hardened life on a face, on a countenance. You can see that all of a sudden soften when they ask Christ to come into their heart. I love that. That's my fuel. I live for that. We are given a new count. Did you know that people can tell if you're a Christian by the image, by your face? It's not only by what we think we see visibly. They can sense it. They can sense it. I walked into a store once, and the guy looks at me, and he says, "You're a pastor or a missionary or something like that." That's how literally how he said it. He was an elderly gentleman that would bag the groceries at the end of, down there in Mexico, what they did pre-COVID is all the elderly, they would allow them to bag the groceries for tips. And that was part of a program, and then they would rotate out. They would have benches at the end. If you go down there in the big, large grocery stores, Walmart, Chedraui, Soriana, the big box stores, then they would have benches for them or chairs for them to sit on, and then they rotate out for tips. And that was part of their livelihood, so that those that didn't have a retirement or things like that, they do draw a very small amount of Social Security, but it's very, very, very small. And so this one of those guys, he said, "You," I said, "How'd you know that?" He said, "You just look like it." Get one of those benches at Walmart. You want to know what the curious thing of it was? That day I had shorts on. And I just ran to the store real quick. I was doing some work at home, and I had a pair of shorts on. And I ran in to grab something, and he said that. And a red flag went off in my brain. And I asked him, I said, "I'd love to be able to talk to you about that sometime. Are you working right now?" And he said, "No, I just got off." I said, "Do you have a second to talk to me?" He said, "Yes." So I ran to the van and grabbed my Bible and came back in. We went to the food court there in the store, and he got saved. What's that? But you know, no, I didn't go put my pants on. I didn't have time for that. The Holy Spirit of God was working in his heart, and he got saved. Why? Because I don't do it. The Word of God does it. It has nothing to do with me. But I do look different. And you're sitting there going, "Yeah, you got that right." I look different. Look weird. As much as you try to blend in with the world that we surround ourselves, I'll never forget when we got down there. I was telling Carmen, I said, "Man, I'm trying to, you know, wear like clothes that they would wear around here to so that I can kind of blend in. I'm tired of everybody saying, 'You ain't from around here, are you?'" And Carmen looked at me and just laughed. And she said, "Dan, you ain't ever going to blend in here. White boy." You know what I mean? It ain't going to happen. And as a believer, you will never blend in with the world that God brought you out of. It will never be the same. How do I know that? I've listened to many of a believer that maybe have gotten bent out of shape a little bit and decided they were going to go their own way and got back into the world again and decided to do the same old stuff. they were never accepted like they thought they were going to be by palling around with the guys or the gals. You will never be accepted. You will live a miserable existence as a believer in Christ, even if you try to go your own way. It doesn't happen. So you have a new countenance. We also look at Ephesians chapter 1. Boy, this is what we have in salvation. It's amazing. Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 11. In whom also we have obtained. In whom? Who is that? In Christ. We have also obtained an inheritance. You say, Brother Dan, do you believe in predestination? Absolutely. You just have to know what's predestined, that's all. God did predestine some things. He said, you know what? Once they believe in me, I'm going to give them all this. He predestined that. Being predestined according to the purpose of Him that worketh all things after the counsel of His own will, that we should be to the praise of His glory who first trusted in Christ, in whom ye also trusted after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that ye believed, ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance unto the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of His glory. What did He predestine? He predestined the praise of His glory. He predestined the fact that His own, those that trusted in Him, that part, He didn't predestine. Does He know who is and who isn't? Yes, He does. And I'm comfortable with that. I'm comfortable with not being God. I don't know everything. All I know is what I read in Scripture. But he did predestine the fact that once you're saved, once you believe in Him, He said, I've got all this stuff that I got lined up for that believer, for the praise of my glory. That's why He does it. So don't get the fat head and think it's for you to look better. No, it's to make Him look better. Why? If we make much of Christ, He will draw all men unto Him. Amen. Not much of ourselves, much of Christ. So we have a new inheritance. Romans 8:17 says that we become joint heirs with Christ. Romans 8:17. And if children, then heirs. Heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with Him, that we may also be glorified. How? Together. Together. So we have become joint heirs with Christ. We also have, as we've already spoken of, everlasting life. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. What does 1 John chapter 5 say? 1 John chapter 5 and verse 11, and this is the record that God hath given. There it is again, those words, hath, that's a promise word, hath everlasting life. Or has given to us eternal life, and this life is in His Son. He that hath the Son, what do you have? Life. He that hath not the Son of God hath not what? I love the absolute of the Word of God. You don't have to guess at it. If you've got the Son, you've got life. If you don't have the Son, you don't have life. For those of us that are assisting others in coming to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ, it's not hard. It's pretty simple. Pretty simple. Do you have the Son? Yes, then you have life. If you don't have the Son, then I'm sorry, you don't have life. Well, you're just one of those narrow-minded, not really. That's what God said. And I just go with what He said. So you can't blame me for it. It's what the Word of God said. That is the absolute, and I want God to be absolute. I don't want a wishy-washy God. I don't serve a wishy-washy God. He said this was going to be this way, and it's that way. And He never changes. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Amen. There are many wonderful blessings for those who are part of the family of God. We now live under the constant watch, care, and concern of our Heavenly Father. We are more than conquerors, the Bible says. Nothing can separate us from God's love. I love that portion of Scripture, and we'll read this to conclude this morning in Romans chapter 8. 35 says, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. It ain't a bougie position sometimes. There's some folks that have had to pay the ultimate price for believing in Christ. We've had it made here in the States. Nay, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through Him, though, that loved us. And then the writer says, for I am persuaded that neither death nor life, not even angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus, amen, our Lord. There's not a thing on this planet that exists or that is coming down the pike that will separate you from God's love. That is what we have in Christ. That is what we enjoy. Death is feared no more. Our future destination after our life on earth is in heaven with God forever. 1 Thessalonians. I said that was going to be my last. I've got one more minute. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and verse 13. But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that ye sorrow not even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with Him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord Himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with Him in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. So comfort another with these words. Comfort another. Thank God for the family of God. Thank God for that spiritual family. Now, once again, if you don't enjoy, if you're not living the life within the family of God, perhaps, and I know it sounds ugly and it sounds horrible, but perhaps the spiritual family that you still belong to is not God's family. It's the devil's family, because you were born separated from God. Then I would recommend this morning, do whatever you got to do. Talk to whomever you need to talk to, and let them show you out of the Word of God, what Christ did for you on the cross in pain, in full, for your sin and my sin, and then receive Him. Believe in Him. The Bible says in Romans 10, the Bible says that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, that means you're confessing that Jesus was God, and you believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. That's how it's done. Verse 13 says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How many would agree with me? We enjoy so many blessings in the family of God. Amen? Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for the things that you designed for us to have and enjoy, all for your glory, after we believe in Christ. Thank you for salvation. Thank you for the distinction. And Lord, for being clear in your word about who we are in you. And Lord, it's all because of you. It has nothing to do with us. It has nothing to do with us. It is because you still chose to love us that you sent your Son to die for us, and that we enjoy the life in Christ of 2 Corinthians 5:17. Lord, may you use your word in our hearts, coupled with the Holy Spirit, this week as we speak to others, and as we speak to others of the blessings that we have and that we live and enjoy, that is for them if they were to also place their trust and their faith in you. I pray that you would help us with that. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Thank you very much. You're dismissed. We'll see you in just a few moments.